and we turn to face an immense, uncaring void. The first stage of public response to any epidemic is always denial. The second, search for blame. All the usual scarecrows were trotted out as distractions: economic woes, social unrest, the racial scapegoating, terrorist threats. But in the end, it was just us. All of us. We allowed it to happen because we never believed it could happen. We were too smart, too advanced, too strong. And now the darkness is complete. There are no longer any givens, any absolutes, no root to our existence. The basic tenets of human biology have been rewritten, not in DNA code, but in blood and in virus. Parasites and demons are everywhere. Our future is no longer the natural organic decay of death, but a complex and diabolical transmutation, an infestation, a becoming. They have taken from us our neighbors, our friends, our families. They wear their faces now, the faces of our familiars, our dear ones. We have been turned out of our homes, cast out of our own kingdom. We roam the outlands in search of a miracle. We survivors are bloodied. We are broken. We are defeated. But we are not turned. We are not them. Not yet. This is not intended as a record or a chronicle, but as a lamentation, the poetry of fossils, a reminiscence of the end of the era of civilization. The dinosaurs left behind almost no trace of themselves. A few bones preserved in amber, the contents of their stomachs, their waste. I only hope that we may leave behind something more than they did. Gray skies. Knickerbocker loans and curios. East 118th Street, Spanish Harlem. Thursday, November 4th. Mirrors are the bearers of bad news, thought Abraham Satrakian, standing under the greenish fluorescent wall lamp, staring into his bathroom mirror. An old man looking into older glass. The edges were blackened with age, a corruption creeping ever closer to the center, to his reflection, to him. You will die soon. The silver-backed looking glass showed him that much. Many times he had been close to death or worse, but this was different. In his image, he saw this inevitability. And still, somehow, Satrakian found comfort in the truth of the old mirrors. They were honest and pure. This one was a magnificent piece, turn of the century, quite heavy, strung from the wall by corded wire, hanging off the old tile at a downward angle. There were, hung from walls and standing on the floors and leaning against bookshelves, some 80 silver-backed mirrors arranged throughout his living quarters. He collected them compulsively. As people who have walked through a desert know the value of water, so Satrakian found it impossible to pass up the acquisition of a silver looking glass, especially a smaller, portable one. But more than that, he relied upon their most ancient quality. Contrary to popular myth, vampires certainly do have reflections. In mass-produced modern mirrors, they appear no different than they do to the eye. But in silver-backed glass, their reflections are distorted. Some physical property of the silver projects these virus-laden atrocities with visual interference, like a warning. Much like the looking glass in the Snow White story, a silver-backed mirror cannot tell a lie. And so Satrakian looked at his face in the mirror. Between the thick porcelain sink and the counter that held his powders and salves, the rubs for his arthritis, the heated liniment to soothe the pain in his gnarled joints, and studied it. Here he confronted his fading strength. The acknowledgement that his body was just that, a body, aged and weakening, decaying, to the point where he was unsure if he would survive the corporeal trauma of a turning. Not all victims do survive it. His face, its deep lines like a fingerprint,